Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all today?
Good.
Okay, I asked this first service this. Everybody who's half awake, tired, raise your hand. Now, everybody who's honest, honestly tired and half awake, raise your hand. More hands went up first service. Thank you all for being here. It's the largest crowd of the year. Oh, thank God it's a new year. Oh, we have a couple of announcements as we begin today. One is the Circle of Caring will meet tomorrow at 2. Second is the elders will meet tomorrow at 6:30 on Zoom. If you're an elder and you haven't gotten the link, call Kathy tomorrow in the church office, please. And dang it. By the way, my nose has been running for now I'm going to say 10 years. And deacons, we need a chair or two. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Are there any other announcements? The undecorating is happening after worship. Yeah, we got to take down the Christmas decorations, folks. So if you are in a mind to help with that, stick around after the worship service. And anything else? Go to the order? So you're not going to help then, Paul? Well, that's more important. We'll let you do that. I'm just messing with you here. Okay, well then we will begin our worship service this morning with the prelude. Arlen?
Thank you.
Thank you, Arlen. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? A star shining brightly in the east. A journey into unknown territory. The Holy One is recognized in spite of humble origin. We too bring our gifts. Our opening hymn this morning is one verse of We Three Kings.
Our wonderful counselor, whose mercies are new every day, as we begin a new year, we, like the hymn writer, think, this is a day of new beginnings, a time to remember and move on, a time to believe what love is bringing and lay to rest the pain that's gone. For by the life and death of Jesus, your spirit can make for us a world of difference, and faith and hope are born again. Let us, with the Spirit's daring, step from the past and seek new paths, leaving behind our disappointments, guilt, and grief. We thank you that Christ is alive and shows us what love can do as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Seated. As we come now to our time of prayer, I would call your attention to the prayer concerns on the back of our bulletin. Earlier in December, Janie Nelson's husband, Richard, his brother, Melvin, and his wife had COVID. They have recovered from that, but earlier this week, Melvin had a stroke. So please remember Melvin, Richard, and their families. Donna, our organist, you may know this. Donna and Wayne both have been diagnosed with COVID. So Donna will not be here for a while, and they had to cancel their trip to Nebraska, I think, to see their daughter over Christmas. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning?
I have one. Mm-hmm. I'd like prayers for my Aunt Kate, who had a stroke last week, too.
Aunt Kate. Belle's Aunt Kate had a stroke last week. And Lloyd. Oh, hi. Glad to see you. Glad to see you here. Recovered. Back here. That's good. Any others? Let's join together in prayer. O God of creation, who breathed the breath of life into living beings, we come this holy day with songs of grateful praise for a year's new beginning. O God, we are grateful for a new year. This day we ask that you would incline your ear to us, accept our offerings of thanksgiving for all the possibilities this new year brings as it stretches before us. We find ourselves, like the psalmist, imploring you, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. For God, this is what we have learned throughout this last year. Teach us, God, to number our days that we may more fully live them here and now, relieved of boredom and fault-finding, relieved of depleting grudges and insecurities. Teach us to number our days that we might taste and feel the deep beauty of the earth, and in that tasting and in that feeling, become attentive to the sacrificial discipline required for the care of your earth and your people. Loving God, apply our hearts to the wisdom of living life more abundantly now, not tomorrow, not a better day, a better time, a better place, but now, in this small window of time, for we have learned, like the grass, we will soon fade and wither. You know, God, we are tempted by other gods, time and money and knowledge and achievements, and we are afraid that your response to us might be the same as Jesus' response to the rich young man. Like him, we struggle. And many days, too many days in this year just passed, we have lost the fight against other gods. We have given in to the darkness and loneliness. Forgive us, O God, as we reach for your light. Make us wise like the Magi who followed that wandering star. Nag at us like the widow at the judge's feet until we say yes to you, to your creation, to feed the hungry, to comfort the sick, to welcome the stranger. Many of us come this first Sunday in this new year with a longing, with a joy, a sorrow, a concern, a falling short of the mark that only you can hear. Hear and receive our silent prayers as we lift them to you. Accept our prayers through the beloved child you sent to this world, which you so magnificently love. Amen.
The first time I attended worship at First Christian Church was the third week of January 2017, nearly 4 years ago. My spirit loved the way Christ is the center of this church. It was strange to me to have communion every Sunday. All the churches I attended previously had communion the first Sunday of each month. It seemed like enough. Now I have realized what a privilege it is to share this meal with Christ in my church family every time we meet. I invite you to join today in the celebration of Christ's death and resurrection. Let us sing our communion hymn, "Let Us Break Bread Together." The words are on the screen.
The night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Each time you eat this, remember me." And after they were done eating, he took a cup, he gave it to them, and he said, "Each time you drink this, remember me, because this is the new covenant, which is for you."
Let us pray. Dear God, help us to seek you more and more for who you are, and not just that which you provide. Lord, that I may spend time in your presence, not for what I can get from you, but for what I can give to you. Lord, fill us with your love so that our love may flow back to you as well as out to others. We pray that our lives glorify you in thought, word, and deed, and that with each passing day, we draw ever closer into communion with you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the ways First Christian Church uses the money donated each week is the sandwich ministry. It's a great way to show the face of Christ to those who are in need. It is a great way to fill the commandment of feed the hungry. It gives a meal to hungry folks in Casper, It also gives folks in the community an opportunity to volunteer to help or make or distribute the sandwiches. Everyone involved is blessed. I do not always have the time to make or distribute the sandwiches, but I can contribute financially by giving now. The deacons will collect the offering. O gracious and giving God, please use these gifts to glorify you and meet the needs of others. Thank you for all the opportunities you give us to serve and to be members of your family. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you.
The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. And the second lesson is from Matthew 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. So how many of y'all were able to see the Christmas star, what people were calling the Christmas star? Look at all of those hands. Oh. The conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, which happened for the first time in 800 years, and yes, I missed it. 800 years. I went out one night and it was too late because the planets had set below the horizon. And then I went out again and it was cloudy, so. Tova, my daughter who was here for Christmas, at home she has this telescope. It's her new telescope. It's like this big around and about this long. Well, she took it out on our deck with her family. Her sister and her dad, and they saw it up close and personal, right there in that little eyepiece. They saw the conjunction of the planets, and they saw the rings of Saturn and three moons of Jupiter. It's handy to have a former astrophysicist around every 800 years when that happens. The conjunction of the planets, that star that we non-astronomers call it, it has fascinated us. And for Christians, the timing of the conjunction has been very interesting. Yesterday, I read an article in Astronomy Magazine that said, "Scholars and scientists have been attempting to explain the star of Matthew's gospel since at least the 13th century. Was it a supernova? Was it a comet, a solar flare, planetary alignment, the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter?" Eric Betts wrote the piece. He's a science writer for the magazine, and he likes to entertain all the possibilities and look at all the star charts from ages ago. But he says, the truth is, science will likely never know the truth. Science will likely never know the truth. And as much as I love science, I do. I have a couple of them in my house. He is right. He is right. Because the story of Jesus' birth in Matthew's gospel, the story about the Magi following the star,
isn't a story for scientists to prove or disprove. Like the creation story, this is a story of faith and relationship, a relationship of love and meaning. And it's a story of a journey that really we all make that is impossible and is life-giving. This is the story of the Epiphany. Epiphany. And of course, we all know what that means. It means manifestation. It means appearance. It's the appearance of the dawn. It is the appearance of a deity, our God. That's what Zechariah told us would happen before John was born, right after John was born, when he got his speech back. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The star of Epiphany leads all of us to the dawn that has broken in upon us. It leads us to the light of this new day that has broken into the darkness and leads us in the way of the one who is peace himself. Like the